Session 5. Why should we witness? How likely would you be to recommend it to a friend? It's one of the key questions that people ask when you do a kind of online survey or something. And of course, we do it naturally in life, don't we? You watch a good film, you want to tell people about it. You've benefited from something, you want to tell other people so that they can benefit too. Well, here's a question for us. How likely would you be to recommend Jesus to a friend? Perhaps for some of us, the idea fills us with dread. Others of us perhaps would like to, but don't know where to begin. Well, for these next 2 weeks, we'll be thinking through both why and how we can be witnesses for Jesus. Why it's an important thing to be doing, and then practically how we can go about doing it. The Bible has lots to say to us about this. And our theme verse includes this wonderful term: you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. A royal priesthood. Now, one of the priest's key jobs in the Old Testament was to teach people about God and be a kind of go-between, between God and people. Now that Jesus has come, he's become the ultimate go-between, but in a sense, we are all now priests, insofar as we all have the task of talking to people about Jesus so that they might know God too. Declaring God's praises openly, enthusiastically. So this week then, we're thinking about why we should be going about doing this. And our first question to ask is this: why does everyone need to hear about Jesus in the first place? And we'll see that from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am not lying, I'm telling the truth, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Now, there are many things in life that we may be passionate about, but aren't strictly speaking essential for others. I love running, but I wouldn't imagine that I could persuade everyone to come out for a run with me, nor would they need to. Well, what is it that's different about the good news about Jesus? Is it a similar kind of thing? Something that we're passionate about, perhaps, but fine for other people to take it or leave as they like? Well, the Bible's answer is that the good news about Jesus is different from our other passions. It really is essential. And this passage in 1 Timothy is telling us why we should pray for the authorities. And the reason given is in verses 3 to 4. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we need to pray for authorities so that there is peace in places, so that the good news about Jesus can easily go out. You see, God's heart is that all people may be saved. And he then goes on to explain why it's important that this message about Jesus is able to go out to all people. And there are 3 stages in his explanation. Stage 1, there is one God who is king over all people. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, there being one God is a central truth of the Bible. We call it monotheism. And although sin has led people to acknowledge all kinds of different gods, or perhaps even no God at all, the Bible insists there is only one true God. He really is there, and he really is the king over everyone, even if some don't acknowledge him. And therefore, it's right that people should give the God who is revealed in the Bible honour and praise. He is their king. But none of us, of course, has done this as we should. And that takes us to the second point in Paul's explanation. Not only is there one God who is king over all people, but secondly, there is one Saviour who died to ransom all people. See, he continues, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. A mediator is a kind of go-between. You see, the Bible says sin has fixed a great chasm between us and the one true God. We're separated both now and for eternity if we continue to reject God. Wonderfully, though, Jesus came to be a bridge between that great chasm, connecting us again with the God from whom we have been separated. How did he do it? Well, he paid a ransom, that payment that our sin deserved. And Paul's big point here is there is only one of them. Only one ransom has been paid by one man, Jesus. If it's a bridge back to God, but this is not like London where there are loads of different options across the river. There is only one way across. Only Jesus has paid the price of sin. Only Jesus can reconnect us with the one true God. Jesus is the only way for people to be saved. But wonderfully, the verse also stresses that Jesus is available for everyone. And so we're told he paid a ransom for all men. You see, God wants all people to be saved. So he sent a saviour who took the judgment our sin deserves so that all people can be saved. So step one, there's only one God. Step two, there's only one saviour. Step three, there's only one way to salvation, hearing about and trusting in Jesus. You see, just because there is now a bridge across to God, it doesn't mean that people have made the most of that bridge and walked across. That's what the Bible refers to as faith, or putting our trust in Jesus. If you like, it's like walking across the bridge. And the only way people can do this is if they know about the bridge. And that's the point of verse 7. Paul says, for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. A herald is someone who passes on a message. You see, because there's only one God, because there's only one way back to him, people need to hear about it so they can put their trust in Jesus themselves. So everyone needs to hear about Jesus. Your families, your friend, your the people on your street, the people in our town, the people in our country. And that takes us to our second question. We've seen why everyone needs to hear about Jesus, but the second question is this. What is God's plan to make sure this happens? And for this, we're going to have a look at some verses in Acts chapter 1. But before we come to them, imagine a conversation going on in heaven. Jesus has just come back from dying on the cross and rising again. And the angels say something like, Jesus, that was fantastic. What an amazing salvation. What an amazing love, amazing resurrection, amazing victory. Now, tell us, what's the plan for spreading the word? And you can imagine Jesus pointing down to 12 scared-looking men hiding in an upper room for fear of being handed over to the authorities. And you can imagine the angels looking back at Jesus and saying, you've got to be joking. But it's no joke. God's plan to make sure people hear about Jesus is us, his people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now on one level, Jesus here is talking to the first apostles, but on another level, they apply to all of us, these words. We are to be Jesus' witnesses. In the late 1700s, a young man called William Carey stood up at a convention of Baptist ministers and argued passionately for the need to take the gospel overseas to unreached places. And he was abruptly interrupted by an older minister who said, young man, sit down. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me. Well, that older minister hadn't grasped that God's appointed way of telling people about Jesus is through his people. But wonderfully, it's not just down to us. Part one, Christians passing on the good news. Part two, empowered by God's Spirit. You see verse 8 again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When someone becomes a Christian, it is entirely God's work. God opens people's eyes to their need. He helps us understand Jesus. And that means by ourselves, we can never persuade someone to become a Christian. But wonderfully, we're not by ourselves. The Holy Spirit empowers Jesus' followers to be his witnesses. He opens people's eyes that they might believe the message. And over the past 2,000 years, exactly this has happened as the good news has gone out and continues to go out to every corner of the earth. So as we finish then, what does all of this mean for me? Well, some people, like the Apostle Paul, God will give a particular gift and calling for full-time missionary or evangelistic work. Clearly, we're not all called to be like that. But all Christians are called, if you like, to gossip the gospel wherever they happen to be. That's exactly how Christianity spread so fast in the early days. Here's a scholar, Michael Green, summing it up. He says, the early spread of the gospel must have happened not through formal preaching, but informal chattering to friends and chance acquaintances in homes and wine shops, on walks and around market stalls. They went everywhere gossiping the gospel. They did it naturally, enthusiastically, and with the conviction of those who are not paid to say that sort of thing. Consequently, they were taken seriously, and the movement spread, notably among the lower classes. Well, we too are called to gossip the good news about Jesus to those we know, to look for opportunities to do that. I'll be thinking more about that in the next session. But here are four brief implications about what we have seen today for us. The first is this: we must learn the good news about Jesus clearly. Witnessing is passing on good news about Jesus. It's not just living a good life, as important as that is. It's being able to explain to people why Jesus is such good and vital news. And so we need to make sure that we know the good news about Jesus well enough to explain it clearly to others. Also, though, we need to love the good news about Jesus deeply. See, if we're not excited about Jesus ourselves, it's going to be difficult to persuade others that it's exciting. We'll end up witnessing to Jesus out of a sense of obligation rather than joy. But of course, the more you love Jesus and all that he's done for you, the more naturally and persuasively we'll begin to spread that good news. So learn the good news about Jesus clearly, love the good news about Jesus deeply. We also need to live the good news about Jesus publicly. You see, if people know that we are Christians and notice a difference in our lives because of Jesus, well, that adds a huge amount of credibility to what we're saying. Finally, we are also to speak the good news about Jesus courageously. Of course, just knowing it, loving it, living it, still leaves that vital step of then speaking the good news. We're not called to make anything up, but simply to pass on the good news of what Jesus has already done. But we can't do that without actually speaking about Jesus at some point. Now that can feel like a real challenge. And that's why we need to keep remembering that God's Spirit is with us, empowering us all the way. So why should we witness? Well, because everybody needs to hear about Jesus. He's the one way back to God. And because God's plan to make sure people hear about Jesus is us, wonderfully empowered by his Spirit.